Southern California Christian Students College Conference, Big Bear, California, November 6 through 8, 2009. Conference title, Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. Message 3, Go. Scripture reading, Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:15, and John 15:16.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go therefore.
Amen.
And disciple all the nations.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, we could be here this weekend. And this weekend, we've been covering being desperate and living uniquely for the gospel.
Amen.
And just to give a little bit of review, I know some of you came up a little bit later, but just considering here at the beginning of tonight's message, just looking at the entire conference as a whole. And when we look back, we saw last night, we saw a vision of where we are in human history.
Amen.
And a vision of world history. And I think we all had the sense that we truly are at the last days. And we really are at a critical time in history. And we saw last night that there is an outward history. This is the human history. And it's composed of these three horses. We have war, we have famine, we have death. This is the human history. This is the fact of human history. But we also saw that this is merely the shell. Actually, we want to take care of the nut.
Amen.
We want to take care of the kernel.
Amen.
And that is that there is a divine history.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Within human history, there is a divine history.
Amen.
And in this divine history, there has been the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
This is what has been on our God's heart from eternity past. He's been longing to come and to bring the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And in these days, we see that we have a high, noble, and worthy commission.
Amen.
Not to be so concerned with the outward human history, but to be a participant.
Amen.
And a factor in the divine history.
Amen.
And even bringing forth the end of the age that our Lord could return. You know, we could waste, you know, we're singing this song about wasting ourselves on the Lord. There's a lot of things we could pour our lives into. And, you know, as we're in college and we're looking out before our life, this is really in our consideration. What will I give my life to? Well, you know, these matters of war, famine, and death, these are problems in society. A lot of people are giving their lives to solve these problems, giving their lives to bring forth peace, giving their lives to solve the problem of famine and hunger, even to help humanity to take care of them that they wouldn't die. These are all noble and worthy things, right, to give ourselves to. Well, this is not the most noble and the most worthy. The most noble and the most worthy is for us to pour ourselves on the Lord.
Amen.
And to be the riders of the white horse.
Amen.
To preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth.
Amen.
And then the end will come.
Amen.
You know, I think we were all impressed with the video this afternoon about those college students who poured themselves out on the Lord. To spread the gospel to China, to India, to Africa, to spread the gospel. Well, that was a particular point 100 years ago, and this was the spreading of the gospel of grace. You know, last night in the message, we learned a little bit about the gospel of the kingdom. This actually is a particular commission that's been given to us. We've been commissioned with this. And this is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel of the kingdom, it includes the gospel of grace, but it brings people not only into God's salvation, but also into the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
It goes further from the forgiveness of sins, the receiving of eternal life, but there is more to this good news of the gospel. That we could be brought into God's kingdom. That we could even, this is The gospel of grace brings us to the initiation of our Christian life. But there's a vast experience beyond that. And this is the Lord to grow in us, this kingdom seed to develop in us, eventually that we would be the kingdom people, we would be formed together to be a testimony on this earth. When the Lord can gain this in nation after nation, when the Lord can gain such a testimony of a people living the kingdom life corporately, then the Lord will be satisfied, then the bride will be prepared, and then the end will come. Isn't this worthy of giving our lives to?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So in the first message, we really had a sense, and more throughout this conference, that we're being commissioned. We're being called. Well, I really appreciate the sequence of the messages and the development here. Because upon first receiving the commission, what would you put next? Go, right? Well, the whole morning, the whole second message was pray, right? Before we go, we pray.
Amen.
And this is because the gospel is not just an activity, but there's a burden, even in the title here, that the gospel would be our living. That we would have a living that is uniquely for the gospel. So it's not merely an activity. It's not merely going to do something to be stirred up. But inwardly, we learned this morning, first, we need to be those fellowshipping with the Lord. We need to enter into our private room. We need to let the Lord kiss us. And as the Lord's life and this relationship, this prayer of fellowship develops in us, some ones are put on our heart. And we begin to have a burden to intercede on behalf of others. We have a feeling for others. We have a burden for others. And we can begin to pray for them by ourselves. We can pray for them with our companions. We can pray for them. If we meet with a small group in a home, we can pray in the church. We need to enter in not only to the prayer of fellowship, but then eventually to the prayer of intercession.
Amen.
And I really appreciated the definition that intercession, actually, it's to interfere or intervene in people's lives for their benefit. Right? For their benefit.
Amen.
Well, so before we can have the message tonight on go, we have to come to this matter of prayer. Then tonight we come to the matter of go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We do need to go.
Amen.
We need to pray and we need to go and we need to speak. And then tomorrow morning we'll go further to see actually our carrying out of the gospel is a body matter. And this is really an encouragement to us. Don't feel that you're being individually commissioned and this weight of responsibility is on you. No, this is a matter of a corporate, coordinated, we're in the body,
Amen.
We're praying together, we're interceding together, we're fellowshipping about those we're burdened for, and then we're going to preach this gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
So this is the sequence of the fellowship this weekend. I'd also like us to see this in the word in Acts. Brother Rob brought us to this morning. I thought it was quite significant because this is the first mention. This is the pattern. The Lord commissioned the disciples and then the propagation began. Well, let's open our Bibles and just look at Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, just a few verses to see this matter and the sequence here. So as we just read right before the Lord's ascension, as we are prayer reading, he said, go and disciple all the nations. But then in Acts chapter 1, if you turn to verse 14, what is the first thing that the disciples did? These all continued steadfastly with one accord in prayer. So they gave themselves for 10 days, and they just began to pray. Fellowship with the Lord, they began to intercede, and eventually they were brought into a one accord, into a coordination. And then let's go on to see what the Lord did. Actually, this is quite powerful. Through our prayer, What the Lord can accomplish is not a small thing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. Verse 2, there was a sound out of heaven, a rushing, violent wind. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak.
Amen.
So this issued out of such a prayer and such a one accord.
Amen.
And then we see the coordination again in verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11.
Amen.
Here he was, coordinated with the brothers in one accord, lifted up his voice and spoke with them, "Men of Judea, all who are dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." We can't read the entire message. Verse 21 can point out, he was proclaiming, "It shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Amen. Okay, and then the result. Let's come all the way over to verse 41. "Then those who received his word were baptized,
Amen.
And there were added on that day about 3,000 souls." Wow. This is really the prevailing way. It's so simple. It's so basic. But we need to see that we need to come together and we need to pray.
Amen.
I even appreciated the sisters' testimonies this afternoon about they're getting together, they're praying. 4 have been added recently. I think we will be quite surprised as we come together, as we go back to our campuses, as we begin to pray, how much the Lord will do and how much the Lord will bless. Going on to verses 42 through 47, we also see this matter of the living of the gospel. This is actually just so normal. On our campuses, in our church life, here we see they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles and the breaking of bread in prayers, verse 46. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart,
Amen.
Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added, and the Lord added,
Amen.
The Lord added together day by day those who are being saved.
Amen.
This is really just our practical experience as we gather together, day by day, house to house, eating together, praying together, we will see the Lord will begin to add one by one.
Amen.
Day by day, there'll be the ones added.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, well, let's come to message 3 in the outline.
Amen.
Amen. From the focus of this message, which is on the bottom, we see that our God is a going God. And we need to fulfill our responsibility to go on behalf of the going God.
Amen.
Let's come to Roman numeral 1. Let's have all the brothers read Roman numeral 1.
Christ going forth from the days of eternity continues today through our prayer on the earth and our going to preach the gospel to the whole inhabited earth.
Amen. Here we see it again. Through our prayer and through our going. How about we say that together? Through our prayer and through our going. Again, through our prayer and through our going. I hope we would be impressed with this. Through our prayer, through our going. May this really resonate in our being as we go back. So Christ, going forth from the days of eternity, our God is a going God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our God is a going God.
Amen.
This is from Micah 5:2. In the prophecy there, we see that one will come forth from Bethlehem who is to be ruler in Israel. This is our Lord Jesus. And his goings forth are from ancient times, from the days of eternity. So our God is a going God. And our Christ has been going forth. Actually, his going forth, his appearing, it began in his incarnation. It continued in his human living, in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension. This is a continuous matter, his going forth, his appearing, his manifestation. And actually, this going forth is continuing today.
Amen.
Through the spreading of the preaching of the gospel to the whole inhabited earth.
Amen.
But he needs some. He needs some who will cooperate with him. He needs some who will answer his call to go with the going God. We're not going on our own. Behold, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age.
Amen.
So we are going in his going.
Amen.
And he is going in our going.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Actually, the book of Acts is just a history of God going forth through his disciples to propagate himself. Acts is the propagation of the resurrected Christ, the spread of this Christ. He is in his ascension. As we saw this morning, today he is in his heavenly ministry. He is in his ascension, but he is carrying this out by the Spirit. But this is also through his disciples. Chapter after chapter in Acts. We are actually in the continuation today of the book of Acts. He is propagating himself in his ascension by the Spirit through us. Through his disciples, for the producing of the churches, the kingdom of God, as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end shall come.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we need to cooperate with him in his going forth. Also, we see Matthew 24:14 mentioned here. I think we've covered this adequately. Now, Isaiah 6:8-9. This is good. This is Isaiah's response. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me.
Amen.
Here am I, send me.
Amen.
How about if we pray read that with our neighbor? Here am I, send me. Amen. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?
Here am I.
Send me. Oh Lord, here am I.
Amen.
Consecrate myself to you.
Amen.
Lord, send me.
Amen.
Oh Lord, send me.
Amen.
Oh, I want to cooperate with you.
Amen.
The spreading of the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
And the Lord's response to Isaiah was, go. Go and say to this people. We say, here am I, send me. The Lord says, go. Go and say to this people. In Daniel 11:32, the last verse reference here. The people who know their God will show strength and take action. To take action means to do something noble and worthy, which may be considered as an achievement. What is more noble and worthy than to be the riders of the white horse and to spread this gospel of the kingdom?
Amen.
So we need to be those who show strength and take action.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Remember, this is not an individual matter. We may feel we're the weak ones. Well, we have Christ in us.
Amen.
You know, there's a verse that says Christ is powerful in you. We have Christ in us, but we also have the body. This is a corporate rising up to show strength and take action.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 2. Sisters, read this. Amen. So underline the word the goal there. Well, if we're the sent ones, if we're going with our going God, it would be good to know the goal of our going, right?
Amen.
So we need to see the goal of our going. We need to see the goal is not merely to save souls, but to gather material for the building of God's house. So our goal is not merely, when we say save souls, we're referring to initial salvation. It's not merely to get sinners saved through regeneration. Well, it's wonderful that someone would receive initial salvation, that would be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb and would receive the life of God. In Luke 15, it says there is more joy in heaven, just over one sinner repenting. But I think even in our feeling, as we preach the gospel to someone, as they're brought to salvation, we want them to go on. We want them to progress. We don't want them to stop there. That's just the beginning. So that they would also be sanctified, that the Lord would grow in them, that the Lord would spread in them. There would be some transformation. There would be some confirmation to the image of Christ, and that they would become building members of the body of Christ. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So in this word unto, we see the goal. The goal is, as we go, is that some would be perfected unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So we ourselves, we need to be perfected. But also, those that we bring the gospel to, those that we bring salvation to, we also have to help perfect them, that they would become building members of the body. Actually, our going is to gather material for the building of God's house. This is Haggai 1:8. The Lord said, Go up. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, says Jehovah. So our going out to preach the gospel is not just to bring some to initial salvation, but it's to get material that we would gain the sons of God for the building up of his house. Also, that we would gain the members of Christ's body, not just members of Christ's body, but building members of Christ's body, that they would co-labor with us to build up the testimony of Jesus in, oh, Lord Jesus, that the testimony would be in nation after nation, in city after city, and then the end shall come. This is the goal of our going out to preach the gospel, to gather materials for the building of God's house. Okay, in Roman numeral 3, today we must answer the urgent call. And I think this fellowship, getting into this outline, and to many of you, was really fresh and new. That there is an urgent call to go preach the gospel. And this call is coming from four directions. It's not just coming from above, the commission from the Lord, but it's also coming from below. Also, this urgent call is coming from within us. Not only that, this urgent call is coming from outside of us. So there is an urgent call for us to go preach the gospel coming from above, coming from below, coming from within, and coming from without, constraining us, directing us. What can we do except give ourselves to pour ourselves out on the Lord and to go and preach this gospel? Well, in A, the Lord's only commandment, this is the call from above, is a call from the heavens above. How about the brothers read that in quotes, Mark 16:15 there?
Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation.
Sisters, next one.
Go therefore and disciple all the
nations. Amen. So this is the call from above, from the heavens. And actually, this is according to the Lord's command before he ascended, which he spoke immediately before his ascension. Although this call was given on the earth, today this call is coming from above, from the heavens. That we would go into all the earth, into all the world. This is a matter of geography. The Lord wants to spread to all the earth. And also, that we would go to all the nations. This is that we would go to every race, every tribe, every tongue would have the opportunity to hear this gospel. So throughout the ages, as we saw this afternoon, there have been some that have responded to this call. Well, the gospel of grace has gone out far and wide to many nations, but there is a particular commission that we're being called to participate in. And this is that we would go and spread the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
That we could bring in the Lord's return. So this is the call, the urgent call in these last days coming from above. Okay, B. The cry of the rich man is a call from Hades below. Brothers, read those verses there. Amen. Well, this is quite a particular passage in the scriptures. And the rich man, his cry, he was one who was suffering in the flames of Hades. This indicates there must be many more in Hades who have the desire that their relatives on earth would hear the gospel and be saved while there's still opportunity, while they're still living, that they could escape such a suffering of perdition. Well, we should be moved by these cries. And we should go to the living ones while there is still opportunity, while they're still living on this earth, that they could be saved from the eternal perdition. So this is the cry, the urgent call from below. Okay, point C. The believer's pressing, heartfelt responsibility is a call from within. Sisters, if you could read those verses. Amen. Well, within us, the Lord is living within us, and there's a pressing, there's a responsibility. The Lord is speaking to us from within. He's calling to us from within. Actually, it's a marvelous fact. Once we are saved, we spontaneously, we have a feeling that we need to share this with others. We need to preach the gospel. And actually, when we don't preach the gospel, when we don't share our enjoyment of the Lord, we even have a feeling within that we're letting people down, that we owe them something. There's an emptiness there. There's a dissatisfaction within. Here Paul said, woe to me. There's a sense of woe. But whenever we preach the gospel, our heart is joyful, it is satisfied, and it is peaceful. Because we're cooperating with the call from within. Amen. This is really my experience. Surely, I do not have the gift of evangelism. Naturally, I don't like to preach the gospel. But my testimony is every time I preach the gospel, I am refreshed. Amen. Before I go to preach the gospel, I'm always somewhat dragging my feet. But I know from experience, as soon as I just start speaking the Lord forth, even if I just pass a tract to someone when I buy something, there's the joy and the satisfaction within. This is our responding to this call from within. And I'd like to encourage you, don't have a concept that the gospel, how you can participate in the gospel, is just not what we would say a cold gospel. That you have to go, you have to get some tracts, that you have to go out to the campus, you have to find someone on a bench, and you have to tell them the meaning of their human life. Well, this is wonderful. It's good to go, and it's good as you're on the campus. You should even set aside a time each week to get a companion, set aside a time, and go and do this. But we shouldn't be limited. This is not the only way we fulfill this responsibility. Actually, the even more prevailing way is the matter of the warm doors. Amen. Making a list of those around us. Those that we work with in our job. Those that we have a study group with on campus. There may even be some people on campus that we knew in high school. There's our relatives. There's ones all around us. Actually, I'd like to read a verse together. If you could open to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Well, the principle here was the Lord was telling them, start where you are, right there in Jerusalem. Then go out to Judea, Samaria, eventually the uttermost part of the earth. Well, this is talking about geography, but in principle, our Jerusalem is those right where we are, those who are all around us. So we need to consider the ones around us We need to make a list of them, and we need to start praying for them and interceding for them.
Amen.
And we even need to bring these to our companions. We need to start praying together, as we saw in the testimonies this afternoon. And we're just looking for opportunities. The opening will come. If we're just there as a testimony in our living, the time will come when you'll be there studying late at night and they'll just open something up. You realize this is a needy one. Actually, this brings us to the fourth need, the fourth call, and that is the desperate need, in D, of people is a call from without. Let's read these verses together. A certain man was standing and entreating him, saying, "Come and help us. Come and help us." Actually, all around us, there are wounded ones, there's needy ones, there's ones calling for us to come and help us. But we're just not aware of it. You know, as we begin to make this list, as we begin to pray for these ones, we'll become more and more aware, and we'll have more and more of a sense. Just quickly, I'd like to look at the verses in Luke chapter 10. Here we see the needy one and the wounded one. In Luke chapter 10, we need to have a love for those around us. We need to have a love for our neighbor. Jesus taking up the question, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who, having both stripped him and beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Well, the priest walked by, and he passed by on the opposite side. Sometimes this is us. There's a needy one, we just pass by, right? We don't have the consciousness. The Levite walked by, and he just passed by on the opposite side. But a certain Samaritan, when he saw him, was moved with compassion. We need to pray that the Lord would give us his heart. Amen. And I believe if we don't have this heart of love for man, as we begin to pray for these one on our list, spontaneously, the heart will be there and the love will be there.
Amen.
And he came to him and bound up his wounds and poured oil and wine on him. Praise the Lord. All around us, there are needy ones.
Amen.
Calling and desperate to know the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we have the concept, and I also have this concept, that when I preach the gospel to someone or I speak the gospel to someone, I'm bothering them. They don't want to know. You know, we don't want to bother them. But actually, behind the scenes, there's just the need. There's just the desire. Every man is longing to be satisfied. Christ is the desire of the nation, and he is the great physician, the one who can pour in the oil and the wine.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to give a couple stories, just about out of time. You know, just briefly, a couple experiences with this. You know, I was, you know, even this effort of the gospel, it doesn't have to be this great thing. You know, one time I was just sitting at a table. We were, you know, having people sign up for the Christian club on our campus, and I was just sitting there, not doing that much, but I just gave myself to present myself to sit. And someone came by. It was Friday afternoon. We were about to close up. We said, well, we'll stay open. You know, it was about 3 p.m., and someone came by. And this one was a wounded one. He was a Christian, but he had fallen away. He had blamed God for a lot of things that happened to him. He signed up. We began to meet with him week after week. The first few weeks, he was just pouring out. But eventually, we started to read the word and just pour in the oil and the wine.
Amen.
You know, if we give ourselves to participate in the gospel on campus, these ones will just come. There's the needy ones all around.
Amen.
Also, we need to go. We're burdened for those, the backslidden ones. There's some that we're pursuing with us, and they're the backsliding ones. Well, I had an experience when I moved to the house that I'm in. One of these brothers was living five doors down from me. My kids were out playing with his kids, and all of a sudden we ran into each other. Hadn't seen him for several years. Well, he'd been longing for a way, a door, to come back to the church life. And sovereignly, I was his neighbor. So this was a door. Me and another companion began to pray for him, and eventually he came into the church life. His wife got baptized. Now he's my vital companion. And he brought up some prayer burden for the other neighbor across the street. We began to pray for that neighbor. When that neighbor heard that we were praying for him, he was really touched. Eventually, he got saved and he got baptized. And now we're endeavoring to care for him. But, you know, we shouldn't wait till we happen to move by someone, but we need to go out and visit the backslidden ones. Maybe they have a burden to come back, but there's not the door, there's not the opening, but our contact with them and our maintaining of contact with them gives the opportunity. Praise the Lord. So I'd just like to encourage you, there are many wounded ones around you. Just begin to consider, begin to make a list, begin to pray together, and begin to just look for these opportunities. And as we live this kind of normal life of the gospel, these ones will be added day by day. And as a student, you are at the best time in your life. Actually, the students are the most open, the most seeking the meaning of their human life. You'll never have such an opportunity. So join with some other ones on your campus. Take the opportunity and meet this urgent call. Amen. Well, let's read E all together. May we answer his commission from above, the pitiful cries from below, the irresistible call from within, and the desperate call from without, to go preach the gospel to all men.
Amen. Amen. Well, could we continue by just, how about we just stand up and sing this? We don't need the guitars. I think we're good. We'll just sing this together again one more time. We can all stand up. Just get the circulation flowing a little bit, spiritually and physically. More spiritually. Praise the Lord.
The goal of the gospel is that loving the Lord Jesus with the first love, we would pour out upon him, pour out upon him what is most precious to us, even our most costly and valuable spiritual precious, wasting ourselves upon him. Even our most costly and valuable spiritual treasures, wasting ourselves upon him.
Amen. Wasting ourselves upon him.
Amen.
Yes, it's all spread out there. Yeah. So the title of this message is Go, and I'd like to continue the fellowship that Joe and the other brothers have been sharing with us. There's two words that I would like to particularly impress you this evening with. One is the title of this conference, or this message, Go. And the other message, or the other word, is the word waste. Wasting ourselves. Waste. So that's, I think that's my burden for this section of the message. Go and waste.
Amen.
And I'm going to start by reading an excerpt from a book. It's called The Normal Christian Life. Wow. The normal Christian life. What is the normal Christian life? Well, I would say that the normal Christian life is a life of going and wasting.
Amen.
Wasting ourselves on our Lord and going out for Him. But before I read this excerpt, the brother that wrote that book, it's in Christianity, you could say a world famous book. It sold millions and millions of copies. The author is a man, a brother from China. His name is Watchman Nee. I think you saw him on the video this afternoon. Was that a very touching, moving video? Unbelievably, inspiring, I think is the word I would use. Inspiring. Well, he was mentioned there, and he wrote this book called The Normal Christian Life. But I'd just like to share a little bit. He was saved, I think, in around about 1922 at the age of 21, it says in the video. He labored mainly in China, but in Southeast Asia. In 1952, he was imprisoned because he was a Christian by the communist Chinese that had taken over China, you know, 1948, 1949. He was imprisoned in China. He was sentenced to 15 years in jail for being a Christian. During that time in jail, there was an account given where at one point he was sharing a cell with another Chinese man. And there were two other Christians in the jail at the same time. One of them was the mayor of a city, and I'm not sure what the other one was. But it got around that those two were being released. And the condition of their release was that they would renounce Christ and renounce their faith. All they had to do was go to the governor's office, and then over the speakerphone, all they had to do is say, I renounce Christ, I renounce my faith. It's all a myth, it's all stories, it's not real. And Watchman Nee was also offered the same opportunity. You three Christians, all you have to do is come to the office and then speak your renunciation to all the other prisoners in the jail. Well, the other two did, and they were released. Watchman Nee refused to be released. So he stayed in jail. 15 years pass. He's supposed to be righteously let out. But the Chinese government wanted money. They wanted Christians in the West to pay money in order for him to be released. And Watchman Nee basically said, if you will not release me, then I'm staying here. I don't want anyone paying any ransom for me. You sentence me to 15 years. If you don't release me, then I will stay here. And then that's what happened. He stayed in a labor camp until 1972, and he died, I think, around about June 8th or around sometime in June 1972. Under his pillow, there was a note written in a very weak hand. And one of the prison officers gave this little note to his niece. His wife had passed away 6 months ago. She used to be allowed to see him once a year. She was allowed to come and see him once a year. And then she stopped coming because she'd passed away. 6 months later, he passed away. On that note was written, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. This is the greatest truth in the universe. I die for this truth. Amen. Watchman Nee. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. This is the greatest truth in the universe. I die for this truth. Watchman Nee. Amen. So I think he's kind of qualified to be able to write a little bit about sacrifice. And I think he's qualified to know what a normal Christian life is, right? Well, I'd like to read this to you. Amen. Have our eyes been opened to see the preciousness of the one whom we are serving? Have we come to see that nothing less than the dearest, the costliest, the most precious is fit for him? The Lord has to open our eyes to his worth. If there is in the world some precious art treasure, and I pay the high price asked for it, to be 1,000, 10,000, even 50,000 pounds. Does anyone dare say that that's a waste? The idea of waste only comes into Christianity when we underestimate the worth of our Lord. It's only a waste if I don't value Him. He's just not that worth it. So why would I waste myself upon Him? The whole question is, how precious is he to us now? If we do not think much of him, then of course to give him anything at all, however small, will seem to us a waste. But when he is really precious to our souls, nothing will be too good, nothing too costly for him. Everything we have, our dearest, our most priceless treasure, we shall pour out upon him, and we shall not count it a shame to have done so. Praise the Lord. So what a wonderful one this Christ is. And so we see from the video, we'll see a little bit more tonight, thousands have wasted themselves on Him and on His heart's desire, on His gospel, wasting themselves so they can convey Him and convey His heart's desire to the wounded ones, the needy ones, the thirsty ones around them, on their campuses, but even to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what a wonderful one. So let us turn to Mark 14. We're going to be reading a good number of verses together. So have your Bibles open. Let's turn to Mark 14. So I'm still emphasizing this matter of wasting ourselves on the Lord. And how about we do this? We're going to read 3 through 9. How about the sisters on 3, the brothers on 4, and we'll just alternate 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then everybody together on 9. Okay, sisters, Mark 14, 3. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be told as a memorial of her. Amen. So Mary poured out all that she had on the Lord Jesus. So in a few minutes I'm going to maybe share a little bit about some of these missionaries that poured out so much to go to foreign lands. But I think I'd just like to emphasize, Mary was just a little sister, a little disciple of the Lord Jesus, but she did what she could, right? That's what it says. What she has done what she could. And it literally means what she had, she did. So even tonight, all of us in this room are fully qualified to waste ourselves on the Lord. This is our fragrant testimony. We, you know, some of the people were here about, wow, you know, this and that, they're so great, they poured out. But we too, like Mary, can pour out on our lovely Lord Jesus. And I just like to read a little commentary. She has done what she could. What does this mean? It means that she had given up her all. She had kept nothing in reserve for a future day. She had lavished on Him all that she had. And yet, on the morning of resurrection, she had no cause to regret her extravagance. She knew the Lord was going to die, so she grasped the opportunity. He is going to be buried. He is not going to be with us much longer. I need to do something to pour out on Him. Well, she poured out on Him before He died. And He even said, she has anointed me for my burial. She knew that He was going to die. But who was the first person to see the Lord in resurrection? Mary. She poured out. She poured out everything. But when the Lord resurrected, she had no regrets. Wow, it was all worth it. I get to hold my lovely Lord Jesus again. Well, eventually, the Lord is coming back again. And I'll deal with this in a couple of minutes. And He's coming back for His precious ones. He's coming back for His bride. Will we regret on that morning, on that day, whenever that day comes, and we think and believe and hope and pray it is soon, will we regret? Or will we say, it was all worth it, Lord. Here I am, here You are, it's all worth it. I poured out everything on You. And now I see You face to face. Amen. Mary had no regrets. May we have no regrets. Amen. Then it says, and the Lord, she had no regret, no reason to regret her extravagance. And then it goes on to say, and the Lord will not be satisfied with anything less from us than that we too should have done what we could. Amen. That's the requirement. Do what you can. What do you have? That's what I require. That's what the Lord requires from us. But Jesus said, you know, when she poured out the ointment, it's very interesting, right? There were ones that were indignant. But there were some who indignantly commenting among themselves, why this waste of the ointment being made? For this ointment could have been sold for 300 denarii. That's 300 days' wages. It's almost a year's wages. That's the amount that she poured out. And they were infuriated with her. They were angry at her. What are you doing? Maybe our parents, maybe our friends, but maybe our parents particularly, infuriated. Why this waste? What are you doing? You've got a good degree, but you're serving the Lord? You're going to a Bible school? What are you doing? Why this waste? Well, this is, if we see Him, if we see Him in His preciousness, His excellency, His loveliness, then we are just like Mary. We just want to pour out all on Him and pour out on Him for the gospel as well. And then it's also interesting, the Lord just says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a noble deed. They're saying, it should have been given to the poor. It should be given to the poor. The Lord didn't say, you know, that's right, Mary, you're wasting your time. You should use all that money to set up a soup kitchen or give to charity or do this or do that. He didn't say that. He said, that's right, Mary, you're doing the right thing. You're wasting yourself on me. Amen. You're not wasting yourself and giving yourself to something else that is less than me. Right? I have a little comment right here. Today, many Christians are more for works of charity than for Christ. Well, the world needs young people who are for Christ. Amen. Sold out for Christ, not sold out for charitable organizations, charitable causes, not sold out for world peace, Greenpeace, save the whales, save the tuna, save the cats, save the dogs. What about saving men? Amen. What about saving men? Save the planet. Save the whales. What about saving men? Amen. Saving men for the Savior. Saving men with the Savior. This is what the Lord is calling us today. Okay, can we turn to another reference now? We'll turn to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. That's a bit long. I won't read it all, but Matthew 25, 14 to 19, you can 14 to 29, you can write down the reference. Okay, let's read 14 together of Matthew 25, 14. The kingdom of the heavens is just like a man who called his own slaves and to deliver them his possessions. Okay, this is a parable the Lord is telling. And it is a parable of the Lord, I'm going to go to my crucifixion. I'm going to go to the heavens in ascension, and when I am away, I am going to deliver to you my possessions. And those possessions are the church, the gospel, the truth, the believers, including the backsliding and weak believers. These are the Lord's possessions. These are the ones the Lord has paid the price for and redeemed. The church, the gospel, the truth, and the believers, all believers, backsliding ones, weak ones, new ones, little ones, that's the possession. So He gives us His possessions. And to each one of us, He gives different degrees of gifts, spiritual gifts, the talents. To one He gave 5, to another He gave 2, and to another one He gave 1. So 5, 2, and 1. And basically he says, verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and he went abroad. Immediately he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained another 5. There's a reference in Luke 19:13. The Lord says, do business until I come. Do business, trading. I gave you 5. The 5-talent one makes 5 more. The 2-talented one makes 2 more. But what did the 1-talented one do? Let's read it. Verse 18. And verse
19.
But the one who received the one went off and dug in the earth and hid his master's money. Digging in the earth signifies becoming involved with worldly preoccupations. Maybe worldly things, but it may be noble things. But he buried his talent. He was given a talent. I have commissioned you. I have given you a gift. Go, 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 go out and preach the gospel. Go out and make more disciples. Go and disciple all the nations. But this disciple buried his talent in the earth. And then the Lord comes back and he rewards the 5-talent one. Well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. The 2-talented one, Lord, behold, I have made another 2. Well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. If the 1-talented one had done the same thing, Lord, here's 1 more, the reward would have been the same. Well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. However, this one didn't say that, right? Let's read verse 24.
And he who had received the 1 talent also came and said, Master, I knew about you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not know.
25. I was afraid to preach the gospel. I was afraid to give that tract to that lady at the grocery store. I was afraid to tell my friend. I was afraid. Right? In 2 Timothy 1, it says, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. Right? Not a spirit of cowardice, but of love, power, and a sober mind. Amen. So we have been entrusted. We have been given gifts. And we can claim, we can call the Lord and say, I don't have a spirit of cowardice. I don't have to be afraid. But this one was afraid. 26, and his master answered and said, evil and slothful slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not winnow. Therefore, you should have deposited my money with the money changers. And when I came, I would have recovered what is mine with interest. Take away, therefore, the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he shall abound. But from him who does not have, even that which he has, shall be taken away from him. So may we not be the slothful, evil, 1-talented one. This whole parable is actually about mainly the 1-talented one. And I think I'm just going to say clearly and boldly, I'm a 1-talented one. And I think most of us in this room are 1-talented ones. So this parable is for us. We do the best with what we have. We've been given the gifts. We have one another. And I think tomorrow morning particularly, I think we'll see a lot of practical help. But I just want to kind of impart this vision or this view into us. Eventually, our precious, loving, merciful Lord Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back as the lovely bridegroom. He's coming back as so many different aspects. He's coming as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But he's also coming back as the righteous judge. And we, all of us, each one of us in this room will give an account to the Lord. And one of the things he's going to ask each one of us is, where's the fruit? Where's the increase? Did you do business? I want to reap where I did not sow, but you are sowing. So we want to be the ones that joyfully say, here you are, Lord. Here's my one. Here's my one. I only have one, but praise the Lord, I have one.
Amen.
What do you think he's going to say? Well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. So it is supremely worth it to preach the gospel, to love the Lord, and to waste ourselves upon him. Okay, let's go on. Let's turn to the outline. Okay, and read Romans 4 together. The Lord has appointed us to go forth and bear fruit. In order to bear fruit, we must meet the following six qualifications. And we're going to just get into these a little bit, the six qualifications. But let's read John 15:16 together. We read it at the beginning of the message. We've been appointed to go forth. So wasting is the first word that I want you to remember tonight. Waste. Waste ourselves. And the second word, clearly from the message and what Brother Joe has shared, we need to go. Right? And we need to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Right? And I really appreciate what our brother shared. Our going can be as simple as maybe the person, our next door neighbor. Eventually, of course, some will go to the uttermost parts of the earth, but our going can be right where we are. It could be our mom and our dad. It could be our sister or our brother. It could be our friend in class. You know, our going can be just giving someone a tract. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have to have a very broad view of what going means. Okay, John 15:16.
You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Amen. So how about we just take a little minute to pray over this verse with our neighbor as far as your fruit should remain. You did not choose me. Just pray with the person beside us using those words as your prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord's word to us tonight. I chose you. Apparently you chose him, but actually he chose you. But what did he choose us to do? To go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Small point, it's that I did not, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That's a plural. You, I chose you all collectively, and that you collectively should go forth and bear fruit. So even if you feel like I can't do this, I cannot, just, you know, I call heaven and earth to witness, I cannot do this. Well, praise the Lord, we're in the body.
Amen.
This is part of our gospel. There is a body of believers. We're built together. We're joined together. One of the things I'd just like to encourage you, imagine, I don't know how many people are in this room tonight, perhaps 300, 400? 400. Well, what if we are clustered, and this will come out more tomorrow morning, not just on our own, but in twos and threes. What if our cluster of twos and threes said, Lord, in this next 1 year, give us one remaining fruit.
Amen.
Do you think the Lord would like to answer that prayer?
Amen.
Answer your prayer. I am certain he would. So, you know, I'm not going to try and do the math, but there'll be at least a third more, a minimum of a third more in this room at the next conference a year from now in Big Bear. Two or three gathering together. Lord, you've set us. You chose us. We want to go forth. So we're praying. We're praying. Lord, which ones? Right? I appreciate it again what Joe shared. Making a list of our friends. This is a very simple way. We just come together, two or three names, and we start to pray over those names. And we just see what the Lord does. We interfere in prayer in their lives, and let's see what happens. Okay? So the Lord has set us that we should go forth and bear fruit. And then the other thing I just want to share with this is the analogy is something organic. It's something living. The gospel is a living. It's not a set of kind of, it's not a set of what would you say, instructions. Okay, step A, confess. Step B, get to others and get them to confess. Step 3, pray for 15 minutes every day for 3 weeks. Step 4, take your Bible, go out. That's not the gospel. The gospel's a living. We're branches grafted into the rich vine tree. And as we enjoy his riches, you know what will happen? His riches will infuse us and fill us and strengthen us. And little by little, you know what's going to happen? Fruit is going to start appearing spontaneously and automatically. Not because we're following, oh, A, B, C, and what did the outline say? But we're enjoying, we're abiding, we're living. The gospel is a living, it's not an activity. We'll see that in a few minutes. We need to become the gospel, right? I think one of the brothers shared, you know, one of the earlier messages about becoming the Lord, having a desperation. And the Lord is the desperate one. And as we become more Him, we become desperate. Well, He's the vine tree and we are the branches of that vine tree. Okay. Okay, let's read A. So the six qualifications for fruit bearing. Awesome. Wonderful points. So let's just enjoy these 6 points. The first qualification, let's read it together. Praise the Lord. Aggressive desperation. We've defined desperation already. Taking desperate measures, extreme measures, doing whatever it takes. And I would just say aggressiveness means you're going out. You're active. You're doing something. You're not passive. You're not passively desperate. Oh, I'm just praying, but I never go out. No, I'm aggressively desperate. And we'll just see in a couple of minutes some of these other examples of aggressive desperation. But we take action. We must be desperate to go out. Well, in the last conference, there was a very, very succinct and helpful definition of what go means. And the answer to this is in Acts 8:29. Just write that down. Acts 8:29, Philip's on the road. The Spirit tells him to approach and join the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. Approach and join. What does go mean? Approach and join. So although we said, you know, the gospel is not about going out cold, but, you know, it's actually not a bad practice to go out. And, you know, there are many students on our campuses sitting down, eating their lunch, texting, lying on the grass, reading the newspaper. Approach and join. Approach and join. Amen. Okay. And then 2 Timothy 4:1-2. I'll just read it to you. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and kingdom, proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Okay? So this is a wonderful. So this is Paul's word to his junior co-worker, his spiritual son. A few verses later, it says that Paul says, my departure is at hand. I'm about to be martyred. So obviously the last thing you say before you die carries a lot of weight, right? So one of Paul's last words to Timothy was, I solemnly charge you. So tonight, you know, we don't really want to stir up something, but we want to solemnly charge you. And then, but according to what? Before God and Christ, who is to judge Timothy, I'm telling you, there's going to be a judgment day. Who's to judge the living and dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He's coming back, Timothy. So I'm warning you as my spiritual child. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the word. Be ready. And then it says, in season and out of season. So just like to point out, in season and out of season. If the gospel is an activity, then we're ready in season. But if the gospel is our living, then we're ready out of season. In season and out of season implies this is a living.
Amen.
If it's just an activity, okay, I'm ready, bring it on. I can take them on. I've got my tracts, got my Bible, got the brothers. Let's go. Okay? Out on the gospel. Maybe three of us can take this one guy on. Right? Sometimes I wish I did have three or four with me with some of the people that we talk to. But anyway. So not just in season, but out of season. And then it says, convict, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And just a little testimony out on the gospel last week. And, you know, actually, because a number of us brothers have had to speak at this conference and a previous conference last week all about the gospel, Charles and I and Mark Schmazu and I and Aaron Morgan and I, we've been going out on the gospel every week. You know, don't want to be standing in front of a group of students saying, go on the gospel, and you don't go yourself. So have plenty of opportunities in the last number of weeks to approach and join. But, you know, one of the ones that I approached was baseball hat, hood, dark sunglasses, earbuds. I don't have my dark sunglasses, if someone had sunglasses here, but he's just sitting on the bench. So I approached, and he never moved. I wasn't there. So, you know, I don't know if he could hear me or not, but I just said, well, just want to let you know the Lord Jesus loves you. And I walked away. And as Joe said, you know, I think that's one of those ones, there's wounds. There's a lot of wounds there. I mean, even humanly speaking, you can't even acknowledge someone or acknowledge their presence or their existence. That's a lot of wounds. The same day we approached another one, he just went, don't want to talk to you, don't want to know. I said, well, what's your name? I don't want to tell you. Please, leave. Go away. Okay? Amen. You try and say, sometimes you know you get kind of stuck, but you just try and say something. But anyway, patient endurance, is that what it says? In season, out of season, long suffering. We're going to meet people that don't want to know the gospel, but what's our response? Do we stop going out? Do we give them kind of a rebuking word or, you know what's going to happen to you? No, I hope our heart. Our heart is to pray. I mean, I honestly just say I left. I'm not kind of embarrassed. I'm just, wow, Lord. And I have been praying particularly for that young man since I met him. I don't know his name. I don't know if I'd recognize him again if we're out in the gospel, but I will be out in the gospel again, and he is on my heart. And I just pray either if I don't, someone else will reach him with the gospel.
Amen.
Someone would pour oil and wine into his wounds.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on. B, absolute consecration. Amen. Let's read that. Okay, I mean, you know, these points are absolutely marvelous. They really speak for themselves. Absolute consecration. We must consecrate, and I appreciate our bodies. Right? Praise the Lord, brother. I'll pray for you to go out on the gospel. No, it says our bodies be delivered from every preoccupation and mean business with the Lord to bear fruit. This is the cry tonight from the Lord. do business. I'm pouring myself out. Will you be one with me to go and preach not just the gospel of grace, but the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel that the gospel of Mary, not only that the Lord loved her and saved her, but that she loved the Lord and wasted herself upon him. You know, I think it to me it's a little, you know, you might consider, well, the gospel has gone out to the whole inhabited earth, but the Lord has not come back. Why? Because the gospel of the kingdom has not gone out to the whole inhabited earth. The gospel of, not just the gospel of, you know, you just need to receive the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, and then you can go to heaven. There is a gospel that says, I command and demand your obedience, your allegiance, your all. I demand that you would pour yourself out on me. I am the supremely worthy one. That's the gospel that needs to go out. I have a church, a body that I want to build, so I need material. I need people that will spend time with me every day, who will put aside all their other worldly interests and distractions and give themselves that I can fill them, that they can become the members of my body unto maturity. That's the gospel that we need to be in ourselves, become ourselves, and then minister that to the world around us. So we need an absolute consecration. So I just wanted to share just a couple of minutes on, you know, that video today was awe-inspiring. You know, what some people, the prices they paid to go to the, they literally took it to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? We saw it to China, to India, to Africa. And they went with the gospel of grace. They went with the gospel of, you know, you need to be saved. They didn't have 100 years ago the gospel of the kingdom, the revelation concerning the gospel of the kingdom and the body of Christ. But yet, what they had, they used. They did. With whatever they had, they gave up. So just a couple of examples. The first one, one of them that was mentioned was that Adoniram Judson. He went to Burma. It took him 4 months by sea to get to Burma. He went to India. Actually, he went to India first. Right, we heard a little bit about him. At the age of 23, he's married less than 1 week. He gets on a boat for 4 months with his new bride to go and preach the gospel to the Indians, East Indians, and the Burmese. His goal was to translate the Bible into Burmese and maybe gain 100 converts. Well, by the time he passed away, what age was he? He was 61 when he died. He died on a ship on the way back from Burma on leave. So they buried him at sea. He had produced a Burmese English dictionary, which is still used today. He had translated the Bible from English into Burmese, and according to the video, 210,000 people saved. Actually, Burma has the third largest population of Baptists in the world. He went as the Baptist ministry to that country. There were no Baptists when Adoniram Judson landed in Burma. Today, the third largest population of Baptists in the world are in Burma. Okay. Eric Little. I don't know if too many of you have heard of Eric Little. If any of you have watched the film Chariots of Fire, this is about this Scottish young man. He was chosen to be on the British Olympic team for the 1924 Paris Olympics. He was the fastest man at that time on the 100 meters and the 200 meters. So he was their choice. You will run for Britain and the Olympics. Well, he found out that the heats for the 100 meters were on Sunday. So he didn't run. He refused to run. I'll read this. To no one's surprise, he was one of the athletes chosen to represent Britain in the 8th Olympic Games of modern times in the summer of 24 in Paris. Britain's hopes were pinned on him and another runner for the premier race of the Olympics, the 100 meters. However, when Eric heard that the heats were scheduled for a Sunday, he said, I'm not running, for it was a matter of Christian conviction that the Sabbath was God's day and he must keep it holy. The newspapers called him a traitor, and it seemed as if the whole sporting world turned against him. Even the Prince of Wales trying to get him to change his mind. For Eric, the decision was final. It was God first. His own desires or those of his country's would have to take second place. So in the time left to him, he thought, okay, 100 and 200 are my best events, but I'll try out for the 400-meter event. Well, long story short, he got a bronze in the 200. He got the gold medal in the 400 meters, and he set a new world record in 1924. In 1925, he went as a missionary to China. And he died there 20 years later in a concentration camp in 1943. The world is running after you. You've just won the Olympic gold medal in the 400 meters. You've set a new world record. Everybody wants to know you. Everybody wants your name, your autograph. You're famous. But what do? You go as a missionary to China to preach the gospel for your Savior and your King. Okay, one more, and then we'll go on. These seven gentlemen here in lovely Chinese outfits, they're called the Cambridge Seven. Okay, so they didn't all go to Cambridge University in England, but they were all either they were going to Cambridge or they were associated. They were all friends. Well, I can't talk about all seven. I'm just going to talk about this one man, C.T. Studd here. All England cricketer. So, you know, cricket, not a big deal to Southern Californians. But to the English, cricket is their baseball. Cricket is their basketball. Cricket is their football. They love it. They eat it. They drink it. They breathe it. He was a household name. Household name. He was, played for England. He was on the Cambridge rowing team. He went to Cambridge. Well, at the age of, 24, he went with the China Inland Mission to China. Basically, these seven young men gave up positions, commissions in the army, education, wealth, national celebrity, and went to China, all seven of them. Well, C.T. Studd went to China, then he went to India, and then he went to Africa. When he was in China, between 1885 and 1900, his father passed away and left him £29,000 as his inheritance. £29,000 in 1900's money is $2.75 million. $2.75 million. That's your serving as a missionary in China, and you get a text or telex or telegram. Dad has just left you $2.75 million. Do you know what he did with it? He gave it all away. Every penny. $5,000 to the Salvation Army, $5,000 to the China Inland Mission, £5,000 then. He gave every penny away and just continued serving the Lord in China. Then the Lord led him to India, and he was there for another, how many years? I think maybe only 5 years. Wrong book. 13 years in India, and then in Africa, and then he died in the Democratic Republic of Africa, of Congo, Zaire, in 1931, penniless. But gave his all. Gave up fame, gave up fortune to serve the Lord Jesus. So, I'm inspired by these ones. They saw something. I hope and I trust that we see something as well. If they can do that, surely we can give also our best for the Lord Jesus on our campus. Maybe one thing I'll mention now in case I forget it later, but they went to these nations. And the Lord says, go and disciple all the nations. Well, because of modern conveyances, travel, education, many of those nations are on our campuses. There are Chinese scholars who have never seen a Bible on our campuses. There are Indians on our campuses. There are Arabs. There are Muslims on our campuses. The nations are on our campuses. All kinds of people on our campuses. So we don't even have to go, although some of us should go. Many of them are on our campuses. We should go to them and disciple the nations.
Amen.
Okay, but I think it's fair to say these ones had an aggressive desperation and an absolute consecration. Right? Aggressive desperation. They were desperate and they were absolute. May we be like them. These patterns, these pioneers, may we be the same on our campuses, whether it's Cal State Fullerton, Long Beach, whether it's Cypress College, Cerritos College, we can go.
Amen.
We can go.
Amen.
Okay, very good. Let's read on. Okay, let's read C and D. Amen. D. Praise the Lord. Okay, just to mention, I kind of paired these up. A and B are a pair. Aggressive desperation requires an absolute consecration. Absolute consecration produces aggressive desperation. Praise the Lord. Then the second set, uninterrupted abiding in the Lord. We must live a life of constantly abiding in the Lord without any interruption, so that when we visit people, we bring the Lord with us and it becomes the Lord's gracious visitation. Well, how do we abide in the Lord? Verses 4 and 5 of John 4 and 5, John 15 say, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." So that's why we need uninterrupted abiding. We cannot bear fruit apart from our abiding in the Lord. I think all of us would agree, attest to that, right? When we're enjoying the Lord, when we're feeding on Him, when we're just one with Him, then it's easy to preach the gospel. I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
So the Lord's giving us a clue here. You need to abide in me. Well, I'm going to add one verse. Verse 7. This is how we practically abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. So, by our enjoying the Lord in our Bible, in the Word, feeding on the Bible, enjoying the Bible, His Word gets into us, causing us to abide in Him and then Him to abide in us. So that's why D says, fully saturated with the Word. Fully saturated. If you're fully saturated with the Word, you'll be fully abiding in the Lord. Fully saturated with the Word, we must be soaked and saturated with the holy truth, and fully equipped with the proper divine knowledge so that we will have weight, life, and light in our speaking. Could we just turn to Colossians 3:16 together? Okay, let's read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. And 1 Timothy 2:4 says, part of 3 says, our Savior God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And so just, again, one of our qualifications is we need to be people of the Word. If we're filled with the Word, then the Lord, the Spirit, can give us the right words in whatever situation we meet with all kinds of people. The Bible can meet every man's need. It is the blueprint for living. There is no problem, no situation, no person that there is not a word in the Bible that meets that one's need. But if the Bible is not in us, it's very hard for us to meet the need. So we need to be ones filled, saturated, and soaked. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I would add, let the ministry that opens the Word dwell in you richly. There are many wonderful ministry books. One title comes to mind, Gospel Outlines. You can write that down. Gospel Outlines by another brother you saw in the video, Witness Lee. Maybe 300 different cases of different people you can meet. The agnostic, the atheist, the money lover, the flesh lover, this lover, that. And there's verses and there's help. So if we study the ministry that opens the Word and we study the Word, we will be useful for the Lord on the gospel. And I just want to read one more of these examples of these people. This man, what a name. Jonathan Goforth. And he did not change his name. That was his name. Jonathan Goforth. He served in China for 47 years. 47 years. He's from Canada. He went back and forth, but he sowed himself as a seed into the ground in China. I'll just read one thing here, one little quote from him. Since the new version of the New Testament came out in Chinese, I will in a few days have gone over it 35 times in the Chinese text, comparing it with the Authorized and Revised New Testaments. My method now is to go over each verse 5 times, but ever trying after the first time to repeat it from memory. I still read the comparison for comparison, both English versions. Before he crossed the borderland, before he passed away, he had read the Bible 73 times from cover to cover. He died at the age of 71. But he'd read the Bible 73 times. And this is what he said. I am ever wishing I could spend several hundred years at the Bible. Saturated and soaked. Useful to the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's read E and F together. Prayer for the filling of both the essential and economical spirit. We must pray. Okay. F.
Going with the authority of Christ. We must go with the authority of Christ and as ambassadors of Christ, exercising our divine authority.
Praise the Lord. So these are a pair as well. Prayer and confession will give us authority. Amen. If you're someone who prays, if you're someone beholding the Lord in prayer and in being infused with His element, you will become weighty. And you will have the authority to command people even to believe in the Lord Jesus. You know, I think Brother James mentioned that Daniel was referred to in Daniel chapter 10 twice. Man of preciousness. Man of preciousness. What was Daniel's characteristic? He prayed 3 times a day toward Jerusalem. Amen. 3 times a day. So he was beholding the Lord in prayer 3 times a day. Saturated and soaked with the element of God. Making him a man of preciousness. We want to be those kind of men. And then we also need to be ambassadors of Christ. Okay, because of time, I want to leave time for people to speak. Let us read the Romans 5 together. The word and importance. Okay, go, go, go. I just want to give you a little, at the top of your title, of your outline there, the go, put an exponential 8. So go and 8, exponential, you know, up at the top. On the. Okay, so I'm just going to write something. Sorry for wiping out part of the song, but I want to write this. And then we'll finish with the focus. And I have terrible writing, so I'm going to read it as well. Gospel outreach. Terrible writing, you can dictate it, is a great opportunity, hope I spelled that right, opportunity to go obediently, amen, to go obediently and gain others for God and his goal. Praise the Lord. Okay? Maybe you could write that down. Go. Gospel outreach. That's one go. Then G-O, second go. Gospel outreach is a good opportunity. Go. Two, go. Four, go obediently. Five, and gain others. Go. Six, for God. Go. And his goal. And of course, eight is the number of resurrection, right? So when we go, we need to go in resurrection. But maybe you could write that on your schedule planner. I have my schedule planner here. I record it. Who I've preached the gospel to, who I'm praying for. We need to schedule the gospel. But on your schedule planner, gospel outreach is a great opportunity to go obediently and gain others for God and his goal. Amen. Okay, so how about we just conclude by reading the focus statement together? Amen. Amen. And let's conclude the six qualifications: aggressive desperation, absolute consecration, uninterrupted abiding in the Lord, fully saturated with the Word, prayer for the filling of both the essential and economical spirit, going with the authority of Christ. Amen. So we're going to bring the microphones up. We have an opportunity to go and speak at the microphone anything we've enjoyed from this meeting or any of the other previous meetings.